Well, it's good to be with you this morning. My name's Ollie Clegg and I'm the rector of St. Mungo's Church. And this morning we're continuing on in our sermon series on hope. Now, as I was helping to get the kids get ready on Tuesday morning, Jesus's words popped into my head. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, something in my spirit rose up and it affected my soul and I felt like punching the air. This profound statement of Jesus brought hope to me in that moment in my day. Why? Because I've chosen to put my hope in him, my trust in him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they may die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? Here Jesus is talking about the eternal life. Yes, we're all going to die in the physical, but he's telling how our spirits will go on to be with Jesus, that there is, that this life isn't all there is. And because Jesus is risen from the dead, that he is the resurrection of life, we too will go on to live with him. Now, one of the things I love about this statement is when Jesus said it. Jesus speaks these words to Martha in the midst of her mourning the death of her brother, Lazarus, who'd been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus walks into the situation where there was great sadness and mourning and hopelessness and declares a word about himself, which he then backs up with his actions. To give us some kind of context to this statement, Jesus has just told Martha in verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha answers Jesus looking forward to the final day. And she says, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, in Jesus declaring, I am the resurrection and the life, he's telling Martha that what she is waiting for in the last day can be found in him now. Jesus was basically saying to Martha in this statement, you're looking at the resurrection right now. Jesus demonstrated in this moment that he was the resurrection and the life. Can you grasp just how mind-blowing that must have been for Martha? This means as Christians who have placed their faith in Jesus, we don't just have a future hope, but a hope now. That eternal life starts as we believe in Jesus. And that brings meaning and purpose to our lives, that this life isn't all there is. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Then the account is too amazing just to move on. So let's stay with it for a bit longer. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you will always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Wow, what a moment. There we see Jesus declaring and backing up what he said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he then did it. He showed that by raising Lazarus from the dead. In the midst of what seemed like a hopeless situation brought about by the death of Lazarus, Jesus walks into that situation and with great compassion demonstrates that he was the resurrection and the life, that he was the dead raiser and the life giver. Now this morning, as we continue on in our sermon series on hope, I want to talk about the hope we have for today because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, being a Christian does not stop us from facing situations in our everyday lives that can cause us suffering, that can make us feel fearful and anxious about the present and about the future, maybe with our families or with friends, or maybe with our work. We've all probably faced things in the last year or so due to COVID that have caused us to become anxious and fearful. Now, Timothy Keller suggests that the thing the resurrection overcomes, however, is the fear that we will not be sufficient to face everything that comes against us in life. He writes, the resurrection does not promise that all the circumstances of life will go smoothly, but it does give us hope that we can be turned into the kind of people who can handle whatever comes. As we abide in Jesus, we will be changed and transformed into a people who can handle whatever comes, and that brings me hope, and that should bring you hope too. But the key is that we abide in Jesus. We stand on his word because that brings us hope, and we're going to be looking at that in a moment. As I was researching this talk, I listened to a talk by John Piper, which really stayed with me. He was reflecting on 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 20. These are the verses after the ones after Dave preached on last week. And as he read this passage, he suddenly saw that some of his deepest longings were being met here by the resurrection of Jesus. And what he did, what he saw was that as he reversed the negative things that Paul said, he saw the wonderful hope that he could have. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 20, and then I'll pick out a few of these points and reverse them as Piper did, and we can look at them and see how they bring us hope. So 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, as Piper read this passage, he suddenly saw that the negative statements Paul used to talk about the resurrection from the dead, if restated in a positive way, would bring great hope for our daily lives and satisfy some of his deepest longings in life. And I want to explore the hope that this passage brings us from today by using Piper's positive statements that he saw as he read this passage. They're not in any order and not in the order of the passage, but I don't think that matters. So let's look at the hope these positive statements make in our daily life from this passage from 1 Corinthians. Now, the first statement comes from verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Piper turned that around, and the positive statement says, "But because Christ has been raised, we are forgiven of our sins." We are forgiven of our sins. You know, before I was a Christian, my guilt and shame weighed heavy on my soul. Some of the things I had done caused me anxiety and fear. Yet when I came to Christ, I stood as a forgiven person before the throne of God. I felt a freedom I'd never felt before. It was like a weight fell off me. I was changed and continue to be changed as I abided in Christ. The forgiveness that Christ won for us is crucial for our relationship with God. If we haven't been forgiven, then we have no relationship with God. If Christ has not been raised, then we would still be in our sins. If we're still in our sins, then we'd not be able to have a relationship with our Father in heaven. Now, you might be thinking, well, was it not the crucifixion of Christ that took away our sins? What has the resurrection got to do with our forgiveness? Well, to see the importance of the resurrection, we need to look at Romans chapter 4. Here in this verse, it says, "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Paul makes clear here that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins on the cross, but he goes on to make clear that Jesus was raised to life for our justification. That word justification basically means to be made righteous in God's sight. Jesus' resurrection validates and confirms our forgiveness. It proves that we are a forgiven people. If Jesus hadn't been raised, then we would still be living in our sins. And I can remember how hopeless that made me feel. We see that the effect of the resurrection on our life now, as forgiven people made righteous in God's sight, we can enter into our Father's presence as his children. Whatever we're facing, however we're feeling, and ask for his ever-present help. All because we've been forgiven, and the resurrection validates and confirms this. While other religions give no certain hope that people are forgiven, we have a certain hope because of what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection. I just want to cry out hallelujah. So this first positive statement, because Christ has been raised, we are forgiven of our sins. Wow, that brings me hope today that my past is forgiven and now I live in that freedom and in that love of God. The next statement is taken from verse 14. Verse 14 says this, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. The positive statement of that is because Christ has been raised, we have someone in Jesus we can trust. In Jesus, we have someone we can trust. Having a friend you can count on is worth its weight in gold. I was incredibly blessed when I became a Christian that God gave me two amazing men of God, two friends who walked me through my many questions, my many mistakes, and celebrated with me when they saw change in my life that Jesus had brought about. You know, the sad thing is we've probably all faced rejection at some point from our friends and even maybe betrayal. And this can cause us to have a fear of trusting anyone. It can even have us a fear of trusting God. But in Jesus, we have someone who is utterly reliable and trustworthy. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can trust his word. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, then we could not trust his word, because he told his disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. So Jesus didn't just say, I'm the resurrection and the life, but he said, I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be crucified. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to smash death and show you that there is hope for today. When Jesus says he loves us, that he will always be with us, we can trust his word. Jesus is someone who kept his promises and keeps his promises to us. Hope for today comes from the resurrection of Jesus because it shows us we can trust, depend on his word, on his promises. Here are some promises of Jesus we can trust and that can bring us hope when life is tough. Jesus has promised us life in all its fullness. He said this in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life in all its fullness. He promises acceptance. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. He promises us reward. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or friends for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Jesus promises us revelation. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. My Father will love the one who loves me, and I too will love them and show myself to them. He will reveal more of who he is, his truth, to us. And then friendship. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. In Jesus, we have someone we can trust because of the resurrection. That brings me hope in the now. Because Christ has been raised, we have someone in Jesus we can trust. And that's the second statement. Because Christ has been raised, we have someone in Jesus we can trust. And I'd encourage you, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, to start exploring that. Please do. There's an email that's going to come up, just inquiries@stmungers.org. Please, if you want to know more about Jesus, then please do send us an email. Because Jesus is someone that we can trust. He said he was the resurrection, and then he rose from the dead. The third statement comes from verse 15. More than that, Paul says, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. What's the positive of that? But because Christ has been raised, what the apostle preached is true. The apostles preached what is true. You know, the resurrection is not some story the apostles dreamt up. It's not a myth that brings some kind of false hope. No, the resurrection happened. And because of this, as Dave reminded us last week, we can have a certain hope. Jesus said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Jesus raising from the dead, he validates this statement that he's the truth. Jesus has a right to tell us what is absolute true, what is absolutely true, because in the resurrection, God proved him to be absolutely true. He is the truth. People constantly not just say, but live as if there's no truth. But there is, and he's called Jesus. Truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. Jesus is the truth, and we can build our lives on him and his word. One of my favorite parables is the wise and the foolish builders. It's a great parable. Jesus starts by saying, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Now, you know the story. The storms come, the floods rise, but the house on the rock stood still. Jesus is the truth. And in an ever-changing time, when anxiety and hopelessness are on the rise, we can know the truth. He's a person. He's called Jesus. He said this to the Jews who had believed him. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Because Christ has been raised, we can live in the truth. Because Christ has been raised, we can live in the truth. That brings me hope. The fourth statement comes from verse 19. Paul says this, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." The positive statement, "But because Christ has been raised, we are to be envied." Have you ever thought about that as a Christian? We are to be envied. You know, I think everyone wants to live a life which has meaning, which makes a difference. And when we don't have meaning or purpose in our lives, then hope dwindles and we are left hopeless. Piper wrote, "If Christ is not raised, then living for him, doing what he says, following his will, is a great delusion. We should be pitied like insane people who live by hallucinations. But since he has been raised and is alive and reigns as king forever, all our obedience, all our love, all our self-denial is not just to be pitied, but is positively to be enviable. Because Jesus rose from the dead, everything we do has purpose, has meaning. We are no longer living for self, but for the glory of God. Our lives have an eternal focus. Our lives are not meaningless and purposeless. No, they are full of meaning because of the purpose we have been given to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be love. And in being love, see others being changed by the power of the resurrection working in their own lives as God's kingdom come. Because Christ has been raised, we are to be envied because of the meaning and the purpose we have in this life. And then the last statement comes from verse 18. Paul says this, "Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost." What's the positive of that? "But because Christ has been raised, we have eternal life." Our lives are eternal. You know, I remember leading a worship at a funeral service of a friend's baby boy. Ethan had lived for 16 weeks with a major heart defect. His short life had brought much joy to us at Holy Trinity. We as a church were praying and hoping for a miracle for several months, even before he was born, and as he went through two major surgeries. Now, we didn't see the miracle we had hoped and prayed for. And on the 28th of August at 1:20 p.m., Ethan went to be in his father's house. And during the funeral service, we sang "In Christ Alone." I remember singing these words, which were particularly poignant. "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand." Yes, There was great, great sadness at Ethan's passing, but also a certain hope of his life continues as he went to be with God in heaven, in the Father's house. This was so evident in Ethan's parents, our dear friends. Their assurance of this brought hope to so many who had been praying in Holy Trinity and wider. You know, what is the greatest fear of humanity in life? Well, for so many, it's death. You know, I remember doing a funeral for a guy I'd known in Wester Hills. Let's just say he was not the kind of guy you would have messed with, and neither were the bunch he hung around with. If you saw them walking down the street as a group, you'd have probably crossed the road and put your eyes down. Yet he had found Jesus in the utter chaos that he lived in. As I stood at the back of the big chapel at Moreton Hall with some of his friends, these tough guys stood like frightened little schoolboys because they had no hope in the present in the face of death. You know, they could have wiped me out with one punch, and yet their human strength was powerless in the face of death. They had no hope in the present or in the future. The hope that we can have in the present is that Jesus conquered death, and so we have a certain hope that we will not die but go on to live with him. We can live in the freedom of fear of death. Through the resurrection of Jesus, we have this hope that even death cannot squash. Remember Jesus' words that I started with, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever believes in me by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Here we see Jesus is telling Martha, as one commentator wrote, "If you believe in me, you will live forever spiritually, even though you die physically in this mortal life." How do we know this? Jesus proved this, not just by raising Lazarus, but by dying and rising again. So we see that in raising Jesus from the dead, God offers us hope for today through the forgiveness that Jesus won for us. And that opens us up to having a relationship with God. We are given a friendship that is utterly reliable and trustworthy in Jesus. We can live from the truth. We can live our lives based on the truth of Jesus, of his teaching. We have meaning and purpose, which brings us hope in the now and the future. And we have eternal life, which starts now and shows that this life isn't all there is. There is meaning in the way we live our lives now. There is purpose, and there is a reward in how we live our lives. All these things bring us hope for today because Jesus did rise as he said he would. The key to having hope in our daily lives comes from our friendship, our relationship with our risen Lord Savior, Jesus. As we abide in him, hope can flow into our lives by the Holy Spirit. Paul's prayer towards the end of Romans demonstrates this. And this is my prayer for you today. So why don't you just put your hands out as you are going to receive what Paul is praying here. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just receive the hope from the God of hope. He smashed death by rising his son from the dead, and that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with hope today. Remind us we live in the now and the not yet, but we live with eternity in our hearts, alive to the Father, knowing that this life is meaningful and purposeful, and that one day we will go to be with you. Father, just bring your hope upon us right now, that we would be a people of hope. We'd be a people who'd share that hope with others who may be feeling hopeless. And we pray this in Jesus' name. So as we abide in him, in Jesus, we can then share that hope with others out of the overflow that we receive from the Holy Spirit. So go be hope today. Bless you.